This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
On Southern Remedy Healthy and Fit, you get information about foods you should eat to stay in good health and tips on how to stay active. I'm Josie Bidwell, host of Southern Remedy Healthy and Fit, an associate professor of preventive medicine at the University of Mississippi Medical Center. Listen to the show every Monday at 11 or subscribe to the podcast by searching for Southern Remedy with your preferred podcasting app.
From MPB Think Radio, this is Fix It 101, the home improvement show to help you do it yourself. I'm Lacey Alexander here with Pam Pybus, ASHI Certified Inspector with Inspect It Like a Girl, and Jeff Salmons from Houseworks. The roof on your house will not last forever, but keeping your roof in good shape can extend its life well beyond its years. But on the opposite side of things, if you neglect that roof, there could be problems all throughout your house. So today, in between your phone calls and whatever else we decide to talk about, we'll give you some tips for maintaining your roof, and most don't even involve a ladder. Jeff and Pam say often they don't want you on that roof unless you are trained to do so. Happy Wednesday, Pam and Jeff. Have y'all been busy? What y'all been working on this week?
Well, I came in locked and loaded. I got stories.
All right. As you often do.
Yeah, I got stories from the last couple of days. I have been inspecting very large, expensive homes.
Yeah, so you've made a large, expensive, paycheck.
Yeah, my pocketbook is not disappointed from the first 2 days of this week. But let me talk you. I want to talk about some of the stuff that I found.
Tell me.
So, folks, I am convinced, and Jeff, you correct me if you think I'm wrong on this, which sometimes I'm wrong on occasion.
On occasion.
I'm not going to tell her she's wrong.
Yeah, right. Jeff's learned his lesson.
Suckering me into
that. Yeah, right.
So I believe as a home inspector who's been doing this 20 plus years, that most of our air conditioning problems boil down to return air.
I would agree with that.
Absolutely. If you can't get your air regulated in your house, it's probably a return issue. And if you call an HVAC tech, I'm going to tell you something. All they're going to do is come and put their little monitors on the system to see if your refrigerant is good. Mm-hmm. That's about all they're going to do. Mm-hmm. So I'm in a house that would list in excess of $1 million on Monday.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, so it's a big one.
Yeah.
And I walked over into the primary suite, which is the master suite, but we say primary these days, the primary suite, and I'm looking up at the ceiling registers, and they're rusted.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, wonder what that is. So I go in, there's a thermostat in that room. Anywhere you have a thermostat, folks, you should have a return air. It should be, and the return air is the big...
Well, think about what the return air does. First of all, think about what the air conditioning system in your house does, okay? It removes the hot air.
Hmm.
It doesn't pump in cool air. It removes the hot.
Right.
So it's kind of like your lungs. You have to breathe in, and you have to breathe out. If you don't do both, it doesn't work.
It ain't working, right.
It ain't working good.
It just don't work good.
So if your unit is either undersized or oversized or it does not have adequate return air, meaning replace the air that we just ran through the system, it's not going to work.
It would be like putting baby lungs on Jeff.
Exactly.
It's just not enough capacity.
Right. It's got to breathe. We'll use the word breathe. Man.
So I started looking for the return register. I couldn't find one.
Right.
And so
it was in another hallway somewhere.
Nope. Jeff's looking at me. He's going, what? So, I started looking all over. I thought, I'm losing my mind. There is no return air on this system.
Mm. Oh, none at all.
I got up in the attic, and this house was built in 2004.
Okay.
So for 20 years, the return went to the ceiling and had never been cut out.
Wow. What a shame.
So what that means is for 20 years, they've been pulling return air from their attic.
Yeah. that doesn't work.
Yes, that does not work. For 20
wow.
years.
So he got covered up.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Never cut out. Mm. In my 20 plus years of inspect, I started in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time I've seen that.
Yeah, that's a new one on me.
So, you know, one would think that.
I'm surprised it was even cooling.
Well, and what was.
That's what I was about to say. How do you not notice?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and then what was interesting is that there were drip marks all on the walls.
Wow.
You know, where it was condensating. And then whenever I got up in the attic, they had foamed like crazy.
Wow.
So what they were trying to do was solve a problem, and they didn't even know what the problem was.
Mm, mm-hmm.
And nobody told them. You know, all these people that they brought in, and nobody figured out that there was no return air. And then story number two, so I go to the next million-dollar house.
Oh, my gosh. You had a date.
Man. Yeah. No, that was Monday. On Tuesday, I go to the next million-dollar house, and I go around, and one of the things I do as a home inspector is I open every return register that I can. I open it up. Okay, now if they're in the ceiling,
yeah,
I'm not going to get a ladder and get up there and open. But if they're in wall, so this house is 50 plus years old. It's been renovated a million times. I've actually inspected it 3 times, all right? So I go into the primary suite, and I open up the return register, and there's a wall there. I'm like, what happened? What happened? Where's the return? And I went around on the other side, and they had added a laundry room and put a cabinet where the return was.
Nice.
So now there's a cabinet obstructing the return air. So it's not going to work right. It's baby lungs on Jeff.
Yeah. Baby lungs on Jeff. So
it's not going to work.
The people living there didn't feel uncomfortable or weren't, you know, unusually hot or unusually cold in that room?
Well, they actually renovated and then decided to sell it.
I see. Okay.
So, you know, when I went on the other side, there's this beautiful laundry room cabinet where the return's supposed to be.
Mm.
Now, you know, that's not detrimental. Move the return.
Sure.
It's not hard to do that.
Right.
Move the return where it needs to be moved.
Well, and I told him it would be so simple. There was a big old drawer right there. I said, just get rid of the drawer and box out your return.
Yeah, you know, whatever. But yeah, get the return so it's doing its job.
So it does its job. But, you know, you don't do that, then you're going to end up with rusted registers and mama's not going to get cool enough. And
I was about to say, if you've got a problem with your air, you're about to find out in about a month. That you've got a problem with.
Yes, it's coming.
Yes, you are.
You probably found out a few weeks ago, and then it got cold after the rain. But in a few weeks, when it's June, May, you're going to find out if you got something
wrong
with
that. Well, and if
you
go in a house and the air is cooling, but you're sticky.
Yeah.
You know, you're sweating, but it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Something's wrong.
Huh.
And it usually comes back to return air.
Wow. So what you're telling me is that just because the big old house was $1 million don't mean it's working?
I'm going to tell you, folks, yes, all day long.
Well, yeah, let's not confuse quality with price.
Sure.
On any level.
On
a $200,000 house or a $2 million house.
Sure.
Just because you paid more doesn't mean that there's more quality. It just means it's bigger and you paid more money.
Or newer.
You know, people ask me, Jeff, should I get a home inspection? From a builder and a remodeler, my answer is always absolutely.
Yeah.
Because I'm not about to tell you, oh, I did the work, you don't have anything to worry about. Look, I'm human.
Mm-hmm.
No, I want another set of eyes. You know, well, show me if we did something wrong. I can't be everywhere every time.
And builders really aren't building your house. Builders are contractors are managing subs who are building a house.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't put it like that because we are definitely building it because without us it would not happen. Now, I think what Pam is saying, we're not physically putting in the heat and air.
Right.
We're not physically nailing the shingles on, blah, blah, blah. But if we're not there – And I'm not talking about any of my subs, but you know, they're in the middle of the forest. Sometimes they can't see the trees.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Sure.
So, you know, it takes us and people like Pam and you know, our help to kind of oversee that.
Sure. It's a team sport.
It is. That's right.
That's a good way to put it. It's a team sport.
Yeah.
So, you know, Jeff and I were talking before we got on. You know, another thing I found at this house was a really beautiful, I mean, this was just an amazing looking stove. High end.
Yeah.
Very high end stove.
This is
commercial grade.
This is heartbreaking.
Just enormous. And I mean, I walked into this kitchen and I thought, this is stunning. This is really pretty. There was no vent above that stove. Nothing.
But there was a vent, a hood, just no vent put in.
Nope.
What? Mm.
There wasn't even a vent, a hood. There was nothing. There was a light.
I mean, I don't know what mindset you get in when you do that.
I don't either.
I don't get it.
Yeah. And I mean, there was adequate attic space. There was an easy way to put it in. It would have been nothing to do it.
Right.
But it just wasn't there. Now,
wow.
You've got a commercial grade stove and you start cooking on that thing. The first thing you're going to do is yuck up the cabinets.
Well, of course.
It's going to get yucky.
And be uncomfortable, I feel.
Oh, yeah. It's going to put out all kinds of heat. Every time you use it. And it had this beautiful grate on the back of it. And the client was like, that's not what that is. And I was like, no, what that's doing is venting the oven, the gas oven. So every bit of your gas fumes are going to be trapped in this kitchen.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Wow. Did they use it before?
It does not look like it had ever been turned on.
Mm. Well, there you go, Pam. There you go.
So
big,
you know.
Beautiful right. Oven ain't never been used.
Yeah, if you're not going to use it, I don't think you'd have a problem. But as soon as you turn it on.
Yeah, it's just for looks. That oven's just decorative.
You're going to have a world of trouble with that thing. Oh, and then they put this beautiful shelf right above those gas burners that's like old barn wood. I was like, well, this is a great way to burn the house down.
Mm. Dang. Man. More, what did my mama say? More money and sense?
Well, you know, the last 2 days have just been fascinating for me.
You saw how the other half lives, Pam. You got to see it for yourself.
I was like, this is just stunning to come across stuff like this. So, you know, I would never find that in Jeff's house. I mean.
No, I'm going to put in a vent hood.
He's going to find.
I hope so, Jeff.
Well, for one thing, it's code.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
Even if it wasn't, we would do it. I put vent hoods outside. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that goes to the grill and the cabana didn't have a vent hood.
That's right.
And I was like, well, you know, I mean, if you don't mind all that beautiful woodwork turning smoky brown, you're good.
Right. This is Fix It 101 on MPB Think Radio. I'm Lacey Alexander here with contractor Jeff Salmons from Houseworks.
She already forgot my name.
Yeah.
I missed one week.
Well, she's naming you first this time, Jeff.
I know, and see, I don't like that.
And as she's certified inspector, Pam Pybus, the reason that I paused, Jeff, I did not forget who you were. The reason I paused is I made a little typo in my script, and it said contractor, Pam Pybus. And that is not what you are.
Yes, I am.
Oh, yeah?
I am a licensed contractor in the state of Mississippi.
Absolutely. Then I should have just kept reading.
Yes.
There you go.
Just kept going. That's my mistake.
I have licensure. I'm a contractor, and I'm also a licensed ICC code official.
Wow.
Yes.
You've got your black belt.
Listen, I love education. I do.
That's good.
I love to inspect houses, and I love going to class and learning new things. Matter of fact, I learned something new this week, Jeff, that I was going to tell you about that I've been wrong about for a very long time.
Uh-oh. Oh, my goodness.
Uh-oh. I was wrong.
About the gutters?
No, I'm not wrong about gutters.
Well, Jeff was excited. He was like, finally.
I mean, that's my opinion, but whatever.
We're going to go to the grave fighting over
fight
these
about gutters.
No, I was wrong about venting on plumbing.
Okay.
Okay.
Tell us how you were wrong, Pam.
Yeah, for years and years and years, I've been saying you need venting so that your water will drain.
Yeah.
It's wrong.
Okay. Explain.
Yeah. Venting is needed so your P-traps won't siphon out. And I was sitting in this class, and I was watching this guy, and he actually showed an experiment of a vented sink and a non-vented sink. And the non-vented sink actually drained faster than the vented sink.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And so what it did, and it actually says this in the code.
You know,
he pulled the code up, and the code actually says that venting protects the P-trap.
You know what? That makes sense, because when we use a ProVent, if we have a situation where we cannot, like on a, some you know, crazy reason that we've got a sink in the middle of a room that we cannot vent, we can use a ProVent. So that's the little vent under the cabinet. And yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. All these years,
sure.
I was thinking that you needed a vent so that your sink and your toilet and all this stuff would drain right. But actually what will happen is if you don't have a vent, it will go out so fast that it siphons all the water out of the P-trap. Now you've got exposure to sewer gases.
Sure.
And in the code, it's actually written like that.
I'm going to talk to my plumber. I'm going to see him when we leave the show. He's doing a top out on one of my houses. And I'm going to talk to him about that.
Yeah. Yeah. The code actually says that every fixture needs a vent to protect the P-trap.
There you go.
Huh.
That's news to me, too.
So if I'm doing an inspection, and one of the things that I do is I fill everything up to the overflow. So I'm filling the sinks up to the overflow drain. Then I'll pop that drain and flush the toilet at the same time. And I had it happen at this house on Monday.
Really?
And I went to the class on Friday. I was so grateful that I had gone to this 8-hour class on plumbing. And I popped the drain on a second floor remodeled bathroom.
Okay.
And it went and just sucked the water out of the sink.
Was it above the downstairs bathroom?
Well.
And they had a wet vent.
No. So it sucked it out. It siphoned it out. And I looked underneath, and sure enough, all the water was out of the P-trap. And I was like, there must not be a vent on this sink. So I get in the attic.
Uh-huh.
It was never connected.
and there was not a bathroom below it?
No.
Mm, okay.
So I was like, hello. I'm so glad I went to that class.
That's a mistake a lot of people make. Well, I've got a bathroom below me. I can tie in right there. Well, no, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
You can. It's been done before, but it's not something we would recommend.
So if you're in your house and you're taking a shower or a tub or whatever, and the water is like going out extremely fast, there's something wrong with your vents.
You're never too grown to learn new things.
There you go.
I was like, thank you for correcting me on that particular.
Two decades in this business and you're learning new things.
That's right.
Listen, I learned something new.
Oh, gosh. Of course we
every
do.
Every day.
Oh, absolutely.
Every
mm-hmm.
day.
Absolutely.
As technology changes, as fads change, I'm sure you have to stay on top of knowledge and whatnot.
Well, he was talking about, another thing he talked about was water. And, you know, water's the biggest enemy of a house. And he was showing a moisture meter, and I've got a moisture meter. And his moisture meter, which is an upgraded kind of the one that I have, you can actually take that meter and just set it on the wall and it'll tell you if there's water in the wall. Now, the one I've got, you have to use probes. So while I'm in the class, man, I'm on Amazon. I ordered me that. It came today. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I don't like the Surface as well as the Prong.
Well, but this one,
really don't.
He's showing some demonstrations on that, and I was like, whoa. That's awesome. Now, he checks it with the probe, but you can literally lay that thing around, and it's like a year old. So Pammy's got one in her toolbox now.
Nice.
There you go. There you go, Pam.
So finding water. Because that's the biggest enemy of a house is finding where the water's coming in. And, you know, we were talking about roofs.
Mm-hmm.
In this house that I was at the other day, there was damage to the floor next to the chimney or next to the fireplace. Well, that usually means that there's a flashing issue or something going on, you know, right around the chimney. But I got up on that roof, and they had put a new TPO roof on that.
Okay.
It was a flat roof, which is a How would you describe TPO?
It's rubber.
Rubber.
Yeah, thick, a thick layer of rubber.
Yeah, I had put a thick layer, so it wasn't leaking anymore.
Oh, I got you.
It had leaked at one time, but, I mean, the house was over 50 years old.
So. Sure. Well, folks, we are going to talk about roofs today, but we're also talking about whatever you want to talk about. Send an email to fixit101@mpbonline.org. Speaking of emails, how about we answer a few email questions? Speaking of roofs, this is from Walter Reen. She says, my house was built in 1980 in Madison County. What is your suggestion for a new roof that has never been replaced? I don't want an expensive roof, just a good roof. And how do I know that the roof is done correctly? Is there an inspector after the roofing is installed?
I didn't mean to laugh, but that just... Oh, my gosh, I better hush. I want a good roof, but I don't want an expensive roof. I'm not sure how to take that.
It ain't possible, really. It's,
well, you know, you want a quality roof at a fair price.
Sure.
Well, if it's been 1980.
Yeah, it's time.
Holy cow.
I'm surprised that how many years is that?
Somebody 40. Do some math.
Yeah, oh, there's 45. No way that roof is 45 years old.
That's what he said. He said 1980, never been replaced.
Okay.
Unless he moved into it, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's 50 year warranty of asphalt shingles. Sure. Yeah.
There's tile.
Sure,
you can put
all.
A tile roof
yeah,
will last
yeah,
forever.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
There's certain products that you can do.
If I would hire a qualified roofing contractor to do a roof inspection or hire a home inspector. Somebody needs to do a roof inspection if you think you have roof issues. And your insurance company, let me caution everyone on this, your insurance company is not your roof inspector.
Mm. Yeah.
Do
don't,
not call
don't be
your
doing that.
Insurance company to inspect your roof.
Yeah.
Well, part of this question that I found was really interesting. Walterine asks, how do I know that the roof is done correctly?
Hire an inspector.
Mm. Yeah, once it goes on, and I actually do that. I mean, we get those calls all the time.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Another thing, my neighbor's getting a roof, so I'm going to get a roof.
I've been inspired.
Right. No, just because your neighbor has hail damage, that does not guarantee that you have hail damage.
Sure. That's true. You may have a different roof.
Yeah. And, you know, most roofing companies will come out at no cost.
That's really?
Right. Sure.
Yeah. They'll come out at no cost and do a bid
now,
on it.
I don't think they're going to inspect a roof once it's been put on at no cost.
No. Sure. No.
But that's where I'm hiring a home inspector or, you know, somebody qualified to do that.
Well, you know, we're getting a lot of new roofs right now just because of the storms that were coming in. And I've done some inspections in the last couple of weeks, and I've looked up and they've got those bullet boots on there. And I'm like, they're listening to our show.
Yeah.
Aw.
I love me a bullet boot.
Aw. All right. Well, that was Walterine's question about roofing. Now, you said for her to wait this long was not advisable.
That's a 40-some-odd year life out of a roof, which is very unusual.
Well, how long would you say you needed to go before getting a new one or getting it checked out?
Okay, depending on weather conditions, so on and so forth.
Sure.
And depending on steep, depending on – there's so many things. Is the roof vented properly? Is there trees over it? Blah, blah, blah. Rule of thumb, that roof is probably going to last you 15, 20 years.
That's what I was going to say. 20 years at the max.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So she's doing – she went double. She or he, sorry, Walterine.
Yeah. I can't.
You have
outlived. I can't see it on the radio.
The life expectancy of that roof at 40 years.
I got you. Our screener is getting a phone call ready right now. While we wait on this phone call to come through, a short question from Susan. Is vinegar more effective against mildew/mold than bleach due to pH preferences? Love the show.
Don't use bleach.
Okay. But do use vinegar?
You can. I my favorite thing is the concrobium. But yes, vinegar, I don't really know.
I don't either. I don't.
I've always heard vinegar for smelly things.
Yeah, I don't know
for
what vinegar.
Smelly things.
Yeah,
I don't know what vinegar is going to do for you.
As far as mildew and mold.
Yeah, I don't. But
okay.
No, everyone wants to think they want bleach because when you put it on there, it's gone really almost before you put it on. The mold is gone.
Yeah.
But then it's going to come back a lot more.
It's going to come back in a rampage.
Yeah. It's going to be more. Not crazy, but more aggressive, probably.
That's a good word. It is going to be very aggressive because you've changed the pH in the sheetrock or the material, and now the mold is like, ooh, I'm going to invite all my other mold friends to come over,
right.
And we're going to have a party right here.
It's like my grandbabies say, extra bad.
Extra bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, so don't be doing...
Jeff's grandkids know the correct terminology.
They do.
It's going to be extra bad, Poppy.
Extra bad, Poppy. We do have a caller from Jackson. I believe this is Hugh. Hugh, is that your name?
Yes.
All right, Hugh, you are on the air. Hugh has a question or comment about the roof needing to be replaced. Hugh, you're on the air. What's going on this morning?
Oh, good morning. Thanks. I love y'all's show. I am a young 54-year-old. My father's house was hit by a tree back in the 80s, back about 87. The house was built in probably the 70s. It hit by a humongous tree. And at that time, the assessors came out and said, oh, you got years in clay and all this and all that. And my father wanted to replace the joist. He said, no, you got broken joists on the bottom. You want to replace the joist in order to keep the floors up. But now the roof has fallen in. Walls have separated because water has been coming in. And my father just the other day says, I need to get up on the roof. He's 70-something years old. I need to get up there and fix the roof so the water can stop coming in. But there are walls in several rooms that have just kind of separated from the roof. So I wanted to know, what's the likelihood of someone fixing the roof getting on top of the roof with it being in the condition that it is, or would it need a crane to fix the roof, or just what would be the steps to getting that addressed?
Well, we've said this before, the roof does more than hold shingles. The roof actually is supporting the exterior walls of the house, keeping them from falling. It sounds to me like no one needs to get on that roof.
Right.
Especially not your 70-something-year-old dad, or even a young 54-year-old. I would not treat this lightly. I would call a qualified contractor, roofer, general contractor to come assess it. And go from there. Let somebody work a plan of action, a written plan of action.
Yeah, and I'll throw in there something else to think about, Hugh, is maybe getting a structural engineer to come in and take a look at it.
You could.
Because it sounds to me like whenever the damage happened back in the, I guess you said the 80s, that it wasn't put back together,
Well, or if it's been leaking for quite some time.
Yeah, something wasn't put back right.
Nevertheless, let's don't make the situation worse by getting someone hurt.
Yeah,
It's sticks and bricks at this point. Let's don't make it flesh sticks and bricks.
Another thing you could think about is maybe getting an inspector over there to kind of take a lot of photographs of what's going on. Because if you've got... and it could be, too, that some of the drainage has caused some of the structural movement as well.
That's right.
So it sounds like you've got a cacophony
of issues. I will change subjects on you here just for a second. I got a text message from someone, y'all may recognize the name, Jason. last name Klein. He says vinegar strips rust off steel.
Oh, you're talking about earlier.
Everybody went silent. Vinegar strips rust off of steel.
Yeah, but what's that got to do with mildew and...
Well, nothing. He was just helping us I don't know what vinegar's going to do for you.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
Hugh, sounds like your dad. I wish you the best on that because it sounds like a general contractor or an inspector to kind of give an overall assessment of what's going on. Because a lot of times what'll happen and I'm actually dealing with this myself right now, is that I've had some people come in to take a look at an issue at my house, and they are trying to solve problems I don't have. And so I'm trying. I have a specific problem that I need to be addressed. I am knowledgeable about what's going on. So you could get all kinds of people in there that'll have all kinds of different opinions. So going with an inspector or somebody that doesn't have a dog in a fight, somebody that's not going to be doing the work to give you an overall assessment of what needs to be done, what the problems are, now you've got a game plan. But if you just start trying to piecemeal it, you could end up spending three times as much money trying to fix a problem that really isn't there.
But I'll tell you real quick, my dad's a real smart guy. He's a mathematician. He actually drew out the blueprints for the house himself. And he can tell you, for all these years, 30, 35 plus years, he can tell. He has engineers come and say, oh, is this, is that? They say this is Yazoo clay. He says, no, this is not Yazoo clay. We do have drainage issues in the neighborhood where water is running from down this road and coming down here and building up because of the ditches over there, the creeks that are built up. So he knows what to do. He can tell a person exactly what he has assessed that needs to be done, but hasn't been. Of course, it's been a fight with insurance. They never did one to pay out because they called it Yazoo clay back in the day. But just to say he has some experience and he can help a professional, you know, guide them into what really needs to be done. And just to end, I'll say this would be a great opportunity for a Jackson company to do one of these big home improvement shows. I know y'all talked about it last week about how it looks so fabulous on TV, but it's not overnight. It takes weeks and months and all that. I'm aware of that, but yeah, this would be a great opportunity for somebody in Jackson to do a pilot and have a big boom and do something here in Jackson and maybe kick off this little tiny house home thing, because I think that might be an option too, is why he's getting this plan together and getting it built up. Maybe put a little tiny house on the lot and start going from there. You know, just so if you have any connections to some of these home improvement shows in the area, they want to do a show or something like that, please let me know.
Okay, Hugh.
Yeah, we'll let you know on that, Hugh. And one of the things I want you to think about, too, and I'll just say this, Jeff, I have never known an insurance company to cover a foundation.
No. I mean, it's...
It's just, they're not. It just doesn't exist.
It's not that I'm aware of.
Yeah. So. That's going to have to come out of your pocket to get that fixed. And a lot of the time... With foundation problems, boy, we've been all over the place. We talked about vinegar. We talked about foundations.
You know, you have to understand what the insurance company is insuring. I guess we could stretch it. Foundation problem, breaks a water line in the slab, floods the house. Not flood, but water damage to coverage A, which would be the house. That's probably covered. Now, not the actual break in the line, but the actual damage caused by the break in the line would be covered under most policies.
Well, just keep in mind, too, folks, and I talk about this all the time, living in a house is expensive.
Well, yeah, it's a payback, too, now. Here's another way you could look at it. You could live in someone else's house. You're making the payment on that house. You just don't own it. Now, there's maintenance items to go along with that. So it's kind of like pay me now, pay me later.
Mm-hmm.
Eat it like an elephant. Do a little bit.
Bit at a time.
A little bit at a time.
You got to keep up with the maintenance stuff.
And it doesn't turn into. I think our caller, unfortunately, has some other issues going on. I think there may have been some previous roof leaks that may have been left unattended, may not have known about it. I'm not sure.
Sure.
But there's something going on there that's a little more than just a roof issue, I think.
Absolutely. Hugh, just make sure your poor old dad don't get on that roof.
Yeah,
please.
Just don't let him take his ladder away.
Let somebody with a hard hat fix that. Welcome back to Fix It 101, folks. I'm Lacey Alexander here with Pam Pybus, ASHTO Certified Inspector at Inspect It Like a Girl, and apparently a licensed contractor. And licensed contractor of Jeff Salmons from Houseworks. Folks, we are going to dive right into phone calls. We've had a few people patiently waiting. Willie in Louisiana is up next. He has a roofing problem with water. Willie, you're on the air. What's going on this morning?
Okay. I got a tin roof on my house, and what it is made out of, and I bought it with corrugated tin. And what it is you see that rusted spot coming into it. Would it be a good way to treat that before you try to get it repainted?
Rust on your, so what you're saying is you've got rust on your metal roof.
Right. The corrugated tin, I know.
Yeah, it's probably rusting at the fasteners. Is that right?
It's pretty well. They're showing in different spots all over, really all over the backside of the house. Yeah. Because most time the sun go down on the backside of my house all the time, and that's why I think you probably get more. I don't know what it is, but it's going to show on rust. You know, that rusted spots in so many different areas of it.
I'm wondering if it got dinged some in a storm, and it's that coating is damaged.
Yeah, it's, you know, everything has a shelf life.
Yeah, how old is the roof, Willie?
It's about 30 years old.
Oh, yeah. It's time.
Yeah, everything has a shelf life. Now, you know, not to say you couldn't go up there and buy you a little bit more time with some sort of coating. Just keep in mind, whatever you do is temporary. So, from an economical standpoint, you know, how much money am I going to put in it? I know the end result, I'm going to have to do a roof at some point sooner than later.
And getting on a metal roof is dangerous.
No, what it is, okay, when the guy put the roof up there, they didn't take my shingles out. They just stripped it and then put the tin on.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, that's
sure.
Fine.
Yeah, no, I don't have an issue with that. It's just, you know, I think your metal roof has lived its life expectancy. Now, does that mean you have to replace it tomorrow? Probably not. Is it leaking?
It's not leaking, period.
Okay. It's not leaking yet. So, I don't know. You can get up there and do some spot painting on where your rust spots are, and probably buy yourself a little more time.
Mm-hmm. I got one other question. How you go about contacting some contractor in Jackson, in the Jackson area, come and get inspected for a house roof called the insurance? A lady friend of mine, she want to know, she don't know how to do it, but she asked me, could I help to find somebody in Jackson area? I don't know too much about Jackson area, but what if it's, how you go about finding a contractor to come in and do a bid on looking at a roof for the insurance company to turn it into them?
Yeah, you would, you know, the best thing to do, believe it or not, is going to be like a Google review and kind of go on and put in Jackson Roofing Company. And it'll give you, and you just want to make sure they're licensed, bonded, all that kind of stuff. And then they will come and look at the roof for free. I mean, she could get, goodness gracious, 10 roofers over there in the next two weeks if she wanted to. And just kind of get them to come in. Now, if there is storm-related damage, then the roofer will work with the insurance company. But don't call the, you know, Jeff talks about this all the time. Don't call the insurance company first. Mm-hmm. Not on a roof.
No, please. Do not file a claim and get them to come look at your roof. Because at the end of the day, you have filed a claim.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, Google it and go in there and Google it, roofing, and then they'll probably show up some people.
Oh, you'll have, there'll just be tons of them. And then you can look at, you know, really as, and I've been doing this for many, many years now. I have tons and tons and tons of Google reviews from clients who've worked with me. And so my goal is to, you know, and Jeff is like this too, we just want to make sure that our clients are satisfied with the work that we're doing. And so our clients will go in and give us reviews on, you know, what it was like to work with us, on and on. So, you know, these days, online reviews are gold for companies that are doing a good job. Now, if they're not doing a good job.
Yeah, and, you know, what the insurance company is trying to find out is the roof, does it need a new roof? That's bottom line, So,
yeah.
And we're going to see more and more of that out of insurance companies.
And you can ask any contractor that you talk to before they come out, say, will you all work with the insurance company if I have a storm claim? Yes or no?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Really, so. She never had a roof put on the house. She didn't pay for it. She's been in it for 30 years. So it's time for one.
Yeah, it's time.
All right, Willie, thank you so much. We do need to go ahead and move on. We're running out of time here. Tom in Brandon has been waiting patiently. Tom has a roof inspecting question for us. Tom, thank you for waiting. You're on the air this morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
Pam, just a quick question. When you do a home inspection, do you actually inspect the roof? Now, before you answer that, let me explain why I ask. The house I'm in currently, I bought when it was 3 years old. Of course, I had a home inspector come out and inspect it ahead of time. And what they didn't recognize or inspect, I guess, was my roof. And I later found out, as I had some shingles periodically slide off the roof, and I had a roofing company come out, that it was, I think, something they call high nail.
Yep.
The roof was high nailed and the whole roof was kind of sliding off. But fortunately, we had a hailstorm and I got it replaced here recently. But the fear was my whole roof was going to be sliding off and I was going to be in for a $30,000 ticket or whatever it was
sure.
going to be. But when you inspect, do you actually do an inspection of the roof? Because these inspectors that I had did apparently either missed it or did not inspect it.
Well, to discover, and the answer is yes. Yes, we definitely look and inspect the roof. But think about this. The inspector, it's we can only tell you what we see. And if a shingle is high nailed, we don't know that because when the shingle gets nailed on, it has an adhesive at the bottom of the shingle that adheres to the shingle that's beneath it. So being able to see that they're high-nailed would almost be impossible without, you know, and what I like to do whenever I get up, now I don't walk every single roof, but I try to put my ladder up on all four sides because I'm looking at areas that are vulnerable. So let's say if I was inspecting your house and I put my ladder up, I may take my hand, which has a glove on it, and I may try to pull up at the base of that shingle. Well, if it comes up, that's a defect. It should be adhering at that point. But I would never be able to pull it up to the point that I'd be able to see that there were high nails. Does that make sense? The only way really that you're going to discover that defect, unfortunately, is a high wind.
Yeah.
You know, and then my assumption would be on a high nailed shingle is that it would be so weird that they were all high nailed.
I know it. I'm just, yeah.
I mean, when they were going on, my guess is that you had some, you know, because they're going fast. If you ever watch these folks, they've got those nail guns and you'll know that they're putting on. And what I want to hear is pow, pow, pow. I don't want to hear pow, 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 because that means we're over nailing the shingle. I want, you know, what is on a tab shingle? How many nails you want? You know, three or four?
It's four or six.
Yeah, there's a thing in there. And if you go too high, then you don't get a good contact. So that definitely could happen. But when I'm inspecting a roof, I'm not only looking at how the shingles are run, you know, if I have uneven, if it's uneven, if it's going across inside, then there probably is a defect in there. I'm looking at the decking. I'm getting in the attic. I'm looking at the ridge vent or the turbine or the, you know, those are the types of things and the flashing. But for an inspector to discover high nails on a shingle, I'm just not sure that that's possible. I could be wrong, and maybe there are some inspectors that are listening to this or a roofer, but I'm just not sure how we would discover that defect without damaging the shingle to find it.
Yeah, I will say that when I had my roof replaced, I understood it was five nails. So what I was looking for was pow, 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 pow.
Well, you are right, and Pam is right. Most shingle manufacturers recommend using four nails per shingles on the main area of your roof and five nails per shingle on the first row of roofing.
Yeah, so we'll even, when I get up in an attic, I'll look for the pattern.
Yep.
You know, but I can't see through the decking to tell you where on the shingle it's been attached. Man, wouldn't it be great if I could?
Well, if you could do that, we need to go to the casino.
Yes, we do.
That way we'd see the dealer's cards.
Yeah. And so what I'm looking for, Tom, what you know, and if your house was new, then that problem hadn't presented itself. And if we hadn't had a straight line wind or tornado to move those shingles, it would be impossible to. Like I was on a roof yesterday, it was a flat roof and there were loose shingles.
Tom, thank you so much. Let's move now very quickly to Kathy in Jackson. Kathy, so thank you so much for being patient with us. You are on the air this morning.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Doing well, Kathy. How are you? What's your question?
Okay, I have in an elevated house, and my toilet bubbles when we take a shower or wash dishes or even washing our hands and washing clothes. Why is that?
You got a sewer line clogged.
Yeah, there's something going on your sewer line.
Yep.
Yeah, sewer or venting. I tell you what's crazy is that sometimes the my buddy had this happen where the squirrels dropped all their nuts and pine cones down in the vent.
I remember that. That's right.
And it was causing the toilets to bubble.
Sure. Hey, have you had anything back up yet?
We have, yes.
Okay. I would hire someone with a camera.
Do a sewer scope.
To do a sewer scope. You got trees in your yard?
No, we cut all those down.
Okay.
We're on an elevated house.
Yes, ma'am.
And back during the freeze, one of the pipes froze.
Okay.
No,
that's not bothering me as much. I'd have the sewer line scoped. I sure would.
Yeah. Any bubbles in the toilet is,
that's right.
You know, and that goes back to what I was saying earlier. I fill the sinks up in the bathroom and then I pop those drains and flush the toilet at the same time. And if I get bubbling and now I know siphoning,
right.
There is something wrong with my venting.
So.
Okay.
Hope that helped.
You need a plumber.
Yes, ma'am. Somebody that can scope it now.
Yeah.
Not just a plumber. Make sure they have a camera.
Yeah. And do you have kids or grandkids?
No.
Okay. Because sometimes what I'll see is children will drop toys in the toilet.
They sure will.
Do they do that, Pappy?
They do.
Yeah, so it'll get obstructed. You could try to get you a snake and snake it out yourself. It's a nasty job, but you could try that.
Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Kathy. We have run out of time here, folks. John in Mobile, I am so sorry. If you will send us an email, John, we will make sure to get right back to you. John, that email is fixit101@mpbonline.org. Folks, this has been a wonderful show. Fixit 101 is a production of Mississippi Public Broadcasting Think Radio and is funded by generous contributions from listeners like you. Our show is produced by me, Lacey Alexander. Our board op is Marissa Vaughn, the one and only. And join us next Wednesday at 9 for Fix It 101 only on MPB Think Radio.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.